Welcome to Talks from the Bible. My name is Bill Thomas. This message is brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia. Of course, we would offer to you an invitation to come to the building located on South Commerce Street and worship with us at 10 o'clock on Sunday for our Bible study, again at 11 o'clock for our worship service. We appreciate so much those of you who listen to our broadcast, and we invite you to continue to be a regular listener to this broadcast, as it will be our attempt to bring unto you the gospel of Jesus Christ. We seek only to preach the truth of God. We use book, chapter, and verse, so that all that we say may be according to the truth of God, and may be pleasing unto Him and a blessing to your life. In the short epistle of 1 John, at chapter 2 and verse 2, the Apostle John, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, makes this statement, "And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." The word propitiation deals with the price that has been paid for sin. God is a just God. There must be a payment made for the transgression of His law to satisfy His divine justice. Sin does not go unnoticed in the eye of God. Sin is never overlooked by God. There must be a payment made for the transgression of His divine will. So that man might know forgiveness, God sent Jesus Christ into the world to be the payment price for the transgressions of humanity. Jesus, therefore, is our propitiation. He is the propitiation for my sin, the payment that has been made to God because of my sin and my transgression. But He is also the sacrifice that satisfies the sin in your life through our obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The justice of God is satisfied by Jesus, who died upon the cross and offered Himself as a willing sacrifice for sin. In the book of Hebrews at chapter 9 and verse 28, the writer wrote concerning the sacrifice of Jesus, he said, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Christ was the sin offering. Jesus took upon Himself my sin, your sin, and the sins of all humanity. Through the sacrifice of Jesus, God has offered unto us four blessings that I wish for us to consider. These blessings are an offering that has been made by God through Jesus Christ. We can either receive or reject these blessings. We can accept the offering that God has made to us, or we can reject this offering. If we are willing to receive the blessings that Christ has offered through His sacrifice upon the cross, and that God has offered by His divine grace, we must, as the Scripture teaches, believe on Jesus. John 8, verse 24 says, "Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." We must also repent of our sins, which means that we must turn away from sin. We must cease to live a life of sin. "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Luke 13, verse 3, and again at verse 5. We must confess Jesus as the Son of God. We hear the voice of the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8 and verse 36 when he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." and we must be baptized for the forgiveness or the remission of our sins. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, were the words of Jesus in Mark 16:16. These are the steps that we must take in order to accept these blessings that have come to us from Almighty God through the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross. I pray that you will consider this offering. I pray that if you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ and performed the steps that I have listed, which are evidenced in the Word of God, then I pray that you will. The sacrifice of Jesus has offered mercy to the sinner. In Luke, the 18th chapter, Jesus tells the story of two men who went up into the temple to pray. The Bible says that one of these men was a Pharisee, and he prayed with himself. It does little good for me to pray to myself. But this man told God how good he was, what sacrifices he had made. God does not want us to tell him how good we have been, but rather he is aware of our goodness as we live from day unto day. God's all-seeing eye knows every move that we make, every thought that we have, every word that we speak, every action that we take. That's a very sobering thought, to know that the Almighty God knows everything that I do and everything that I say and everything that I think as I move in my life from day unto day. I do not need to tell God what good I have done. He is aware both of my good and my evil. The other man smote his breast, would not as much lift up his eye unto heaven, in Luke 18:14, and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I seek the mercy of God. In my sin, I need God's mercy. I want God to be gracious unto me. And through the offering of Jesus Christ upon the cross, God offers me His divine mercy. In the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, a woman is brought to Jesus. This woman has been taken in the very act of adultery. Those who brought her to Jesus wanted to know what he thought they should do with her. The law commanded that she should be stoned if she had been taken in adultery. Jesus stooped down and wrote something in the dirt. We are not aware of what Jesus wrote. Perhaps he was taking a moment for this multitude to think about what they were doing. Perhaps he wanted them to consider that they had brought this sinful woman to him and yet were unwilling to consider the sin in their own life. Do we attempt to excuse sin in our life by examining the life of someone else? Do we think ourselves better because perhaps we do not commit the same iniquity, perform the same wrongdoing as another individual? Jesus rose up and said, He that is without sin, let him first cast the stone at her. The law required that the witnesses who had seen this act cast the first stone. The multitude began to disperse as they realized and understood that they themselves were without sin. They really were not worthy of condemning this woman. I'm not worthy to condemn someone else because there is sin in my own life, and for me, Jesus has paid this great sacrifice. Jesus turned to the woman in verses 10 and 11 of John chapter 8 and said, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Doth any man condemn thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." In the third chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus had stated that he had not come to condemn the world, but rather he had come to save the world. His offering upon the cross of Jesus Christ would take this woman's sin and bury it in his own body on the tree, so that she might be free from that transgression and forgiven by God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, at verses 13 through 15, the Apostle Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, has written about his own personal life. He contemplates the sacrifice that God has made on his behalf and the forgiveness that he has received. He says concerning himself, who was before Jesus Christ had received him, before he had chosen to arise and be baptized, according to Acts 22 and verse 16. He was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul had been a sinner, but God had mercy upon him. He had obtained mercy through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and Paul said, "I am the chief. I am the worst of all sinners." Perhaps you and I today could make that same analysis of our own life. Perhaps you and I could conclude, as we examine our life in light of what the Bible teaches, that we indeed also are the worst of sinners. Jesus Christ, through his offering upon the cross, has offered me mercy. In 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10, Peter had declared to those to whom he had written, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." The offering of Christ offers mercy to the sinner. Receive that mercy that God offers through Christ. But the sacrifice of Jesus Christ also offers reconciliation to the sinner. Sin separates us from God. Sin creates a gulf between the heart of man and the heart of God. God is one who is pure, undefiled. There is no flaw nor sin in the character of God. In him is light and no darkness at all, 1 John 1 and verse 5. So therefore, sin separates us from God. God has no association with sin. We remove ourselves from God. Isaiah talked about the people of God divorcing themselves from God because they chose to transgress his law and live in disobedience to his will. But Jesus has offered us reconciliation. Hebrews 2, verse 17, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him," Jesus Christ, "to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Jesus has made reconciliation for the sins of the people. Jesus has offered himself as a sin offering so that we might be reconciled unto God. Under the new covenant that Jesus has sealed and ratified with his blood, Christ has become our high priest. And here the writer says that he is a merciful and faithful high priest, in that he has made reconciliation. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. The gulf that existed between the heart of God and the heart of man was bridged by the Lord Jesus Christ. He has reconciled us, or brought us into favor with God once more through his offering on the cross. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, at verses 18 and 19, all things are of God. Everything is of God. The whole of creation is of God. The whole of redemption is of God. God was in Christ, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God is the one who did the reconciling. God is the one who reached out to man. Do you see in the reconciliation how good, how merciful, how gracious, how faithful God is? God sought our reconciliation. We had separated ourselves from him. We had divorced ourselves from him. We had removed ourselves from him because of our love for sin and the iniquity which we committed. But God reached out and sought to bring us unto him once more. The writer of the epistle to the Colossians says that we were sometimes enemies and alienated in our minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Alienated from God, cut off from God, removed from God by wicked works. Wickedness separates us from God. We need to remove ourselves from wickedness. We need to cease to be wicked. We need to become holy as God is holy. We need to walk the road that leads to the righteousness and the holiness of God. We need to live and without sin in our life, and that is possible through Jesus Christ. We become not the enemy of God, but the friend of God, because of the love of Jesus and the sacrifice that he made upon the cross for our transgressions. In the book of Ephesians, at chapter 2, the Apostle Paul discusses this reconciliation further. In verses 16 through 19, he has taught, as he speaks about our separation from God because we lived according to the course of this world, we lived according to the lust of the flesh, but he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We have access unto the Father through Jesus Christ. Jesus has opened the door by which we might enter into fellowship with God and know him as our Father and walk with him and serve him and live in obedience to his will. But the sacrifice of Jesus has also offered righteousness to the sinner. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, the writer says, "For he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus knew no sin. Jesus lived in the world where I live. He lived with temptation and rejection. Jesus faced the devil, as you and I must face the devil. And Jesus was able to overcome. He did no sin, but God made him to be sin. God laid upon him every sin that has ever been committed in all of the history of the world, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God is righteous. God does that which is right. He never does that which is wrong. He never commits any violation of his will. God sought to make us as he was. He sought to make us as pure and as clean and as holy as he was. In the fourth chapter of the Epistle to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul speaks about conversion. And he tells us that we must put off the old man of sin. Paul calls that in Colossians chapter 2, the circumcision of the sins of the flesh. And he explains in Colossians 2 and verse 12 that that circumcision, that cutting away of the sins of the flesh, is accomplished when we are buried with him in baptism. Some people have a misunderstanding concerning baptism. They do not believe that baptism saves them. But here in Colossians 2, verses 11 and 12, the Apostle Paul explains that God circumcises the sins of the flesh when we are buried with him in baptism. We are converted. We realize that we are going in a direction that is wrong, and we change our mind, and we turn around and go in a different direction. And then in verse 24, he says of Ephesians 4, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This new man becomes righteous when that old man is put away. When we are baptized into Christ, that old man dies, Romans chapter 6. And a new man is raised up from the water of baptism. We're raised to walk in newness of life, Romans 6 and verse 4. And this new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. We become as God. We become righteous like God is righteous. And then we do that which is right in our life rather than that which is wrong. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness." We are to seek, we are to pursue the righteousness of God. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, the scripture says that the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross enables me, empowers me, and you as well, to live a righteous life. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, "Who his own self, Jesus Christ, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." The sacrifice of Jesus offers righteousness to the sinner. But fourthly, finally, The sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross offers eternal glory to the sinner. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, Paul said, I suffer these things that you might obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus unto eternal glory. We are saved from sin by Jesus Christ. That salvation has, as a result, eternal glory. Think about eternal glory. Think about glory rather than all of the ills and all of the evils of our present society. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, we have this passage of Scripture. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. God, because he is the God of all grace, has called us unto eternal glory. He invites us to an eternity of glory. In this world, we know pain, we know defeat, we know disappointment, we know heartache. But there is a land of eternal glory. There is a dwelling, an abiding place, where pain is unknown, where sorrow never comes, where tears are never shed, where death never invades the borders thereof. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly, John 10 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul concludes the discussion on baptism in Romans chapter 6 with this statement, For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life, eternal death, that's the choice that we make. We choose eternal life when we receive the offering that Christ has made upon the cross. We choose eternal death when we engage in the wages of sin and refuse the offering that Christ has made upon the cross. Jesus Christ has been made by Almighty God the propitiation for our sins. He is the sacrifice that God will receive so that the debt of sin and the penalty of sin and the guilt of sin in my life and in your life and in the lives of all people might be forever satisfied. But we must receive the offering that God has made. He offers to us mercy. He offers reconciliation to himself. He offers righteousness, and he offers eternal glory. Would you not think about that? Would you not choose to accept that and receive that? If the Church of Christ at South Commerce can help you in any way in becoming what God wants you to become, in obeying his truth and his gospel, then we invite you to call upon us. God loves you. God wants you to be saved. And we love you, and we want you to be saved. And that is the purpose of this broadcast. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.